On Wednesday, October 2nd, as the sun sets in Israel, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, begins. At the same moment, the second solar eclipse of the year will appear in the heavens. This will be the second and final solar eclipse of the year. It will appear at precisely 1542 Coordinated Universal Time, which corresponds to 1842 in Israel, almost precisely as the sun sets and the holy day begins. The following day, October 3rd, will be the Jewish holiday of the Feast of Trumpets. Many people have theories that something big will happen on the Feast of Trumpets at some point in history. The start of the tribulation, the rapture of the church, or the return of Jesus Christ are the main theories. The connection between Jesus and the Jewish feast days is a beautiful prophetic connection that only God could have set up. God has connected Jesus the Messiah to fulfilling all things since the beginning of time, from the covenants with Abraham all the way up to the fulfillment and completion of Earth's history in the book of Revelation. Jesus can be seen in it all. Passover pointed to the Messiah as our Passover lamb whose blood was shed for our sins. Jesus was crucified during the time that the Passover was observed, just as the Passover marked the Hebrews' release from Egyptian slavery. So the death of Christ frees us from our slavery to sin. The Feast of Unleavened Bread points to the Messiah's sinless life, as leaven is a picture of sin in the Bible. Jesus' body was in the grave during the first days of this feast, like a kernel of wheat planted and waiting to burst forth as the bread of life. The Feast of the First Fruits pointed to the Messiah's resurrection as the first fruits of the righteous. Jesus was resurrected on this very day, which is one of the reasons that Paul refers to him in 1 Corinthians 15:20 as the first fruits from the dead. The Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, occurred after the Feast of Unleavened Bread and pointed to the great harvest of souls and the gift of the Holy Spirit for both Jew and Gentile given to us by Jesus after he ascended to the Father. This was also when the church was established, when God poured his Holy Spirit on 3,000 Jews, responding to Peter's great sermon and his first proclamation of the gospel. Those feasts all have their connection to Jesus Christ as the Messiah, his coming and fulfillment of those prophecies. Now, the following three feasts, many people believe, are connected to Jesus Christ's second coming and what's prophesied to happen in the future. The Feast of Trumpets is the first of the fall feasts. Again, this year it will be taking place on October 3rd, right after this solar eclipse. Many people believe that this day points to the rapture of the church, when the Messiah Jesus will appear in the heavens and come for his bride, the church. The catching up of the church to be with the Lord is always associated in Scripture with the blowing of a loud trumpet, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18, and 1 Corinthians 15:52. The Feast of the Day of Atonement. Many believe this prophetically points to the day of the second coming of Jesus when he will return to the earth. The Day of Atonement will be for the Jewish remnant when they look upon him whom they pierced, repent of their sins, and receive Jesus finally as the Messiah. And the Feast of Tabernacles, or Feast of Booths. Many scholars believe that this feast day points to the Lord's promise that he will once again tabernacle with his people when he returns to reign over all the world. Luke 21:25 reveals to us that there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars in the last days of earth. With this understanding, we can discern astronomical events in relation to God and his word and what's taking place in the earth. The eclipse on October 2nd will not be visible in the continental United States or Israel, and the eclipse path will be entirely over the Pacific Ocean. This coming solar eclipse during the Feast of Trumpets being entirely over the ocean may be symbolic of a prophecy told to us in the book of Revelation. When the last days start to unfold according to God's prophetic word, Mystery Babylon, accompanied by a harlot, will rise up. It will sit and control many people from many nations, which is symbolized in the book of Revelation as a sea. Then he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues." In the Bible, solar events often have remarkable or supernatural significance. God shows his control over the sun during the three-day plague of darkness over Egypt told to us in the book of Exodus. The sun going dark, as well as control over the moon, is also a prophesied and essential part of many end times passages. The prophet Joel tells us, "The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." The prophet Amos makes a similar prediction, "And on that day, declares my God, I will make the sun set at noon, I will darken the earth on a sunny day." Knowing that the sun, moon, and stars can be used for signs and warnings from God, are there any events taking place in the earth that could have a prophetic significance or unfolding that God could be warning us about?
Now, the UN Summit of the Future is underway in New York City ahead of the annual General Assembly meeting later this week. And the UNGA earlier approved a Pact of the Future, a document designed to turn promises made there into actions.
I called for this summit because 21st century challenges require 21st century solutions.
Addressing climate change, governing emerging technologies, and overcoming geopolitical tensions were key issues addressed by speakers here. International peace and security was top of the agenda throughout the day, with conflicts from Ukraine to Gaza taking center stage.
Israel firmly believes that we cannot leave a legacy of fear, oppression, and terror for future generations. We must act decisively against terrorist organizations that blatantly disregard the safety and welfare of their own people.
World leaders here also adopted the Pact for the Future. On Monday, many more countries will have their own opportunity to address the General Assembly and outline their vision for what global governance should look like in 2024.
The UN in themselves could be viewed as a sea of people with how many different nations are involved in their organization. A lot of the main things they focus on could play into the prophecies of the last days. Global control because of climate change, expanding digital technologies to connect all the nations, and probably the most prophetically important issue is their desire to have their hand in the situation of what's taking place in Israel and many talks of a two-state solution. Israel, the Jewish people, and Jerusalem are the main focus of many end times prophecies. The eclipse could be a sign or a warning in relation to what is taking place currently in Israel, which is not backing down in any way, and things continue to escalate and escalate, which falls in line exactly with what prophecy tells us will happen with unrest in the Middle East and a coming peace plan which will be broken eventually by the Antichrist. In Genesis 1:14, God tells us that he will use the sun, moon, and stars for signs. We should take notice when these out-of-the-ordinary astronomical events take place. There's been quite a lot of focus drawn to what's been called a second moon that will appear in the sky starting in the next few days towards the end of September. We will call it Mini Moon, all about Earth's temporary second moon, asteroid 2024 PT5. The Earth will gain a second mini moon on September 29th, but it won't stick around too long. The asteroid 2024 PT5 is expected to escape Earth's orbit on November 25th and be pulled toward the sun before continuing its journey through the solar system. It's hard to pinpoint if this astronomical event has any significance, but we should take all of them into consideration because God said he will use them for signs. Discerning the astronomical events in unity with God and his word is the correct way to evaluate these potential signs and warnings. Living our lives dependent on the stars looking into astrology is the complete opposite of what we're supposed to do. This is actually a satanic attempt by the evil realm to corrupt a way that God sometimes speaks to his people. Satan wants to be like God. This is why he fell from grace. He can't create anything like God does, so he copies and corrupts the things God has already made. This is what he's done with astrology. And this is what the Gentiles, or unbelievers of Jesus Christ, do. They live their lives according to what the stars say and not according to the one true God. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. We don't have to be dismayed by the signs in the heavens. We look forward to God's signs, heeding his warnings and his guidance. Those not following God will be fearful of the signs and the things that are coming upon the earth. But those who follow Jesus Christ have a great hope and expectation of the revelation of Jesus, where he sets everything right. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The people of the earth will mourn when they see the one coming on the clouds who they rejected and blasphemed all their lives. But we, followers of Jesus Christ, will be caught up to be with the Lord Jesus and forever live in his presence. God tells us to watch for all these signs so we can know that it will all unfold perfectly until he returns. So until he does, let's all watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch.